when you walk into the ring with the number one heavyweight of the world, you'll be ready, won't you? Why? Because I waited for 50 years to make you ready. You'll be able to spit nails, kid. Like the guy says, you're gonna eat lightning and you're gonna crap thunder. You're gonna become a very dangerous person.
Our show's name pays tribute to the Boer Trekkers of South Africa, who in 1838 soundly defeated 30,000 Zulus on the bank of the Nkomo River, thereafter called Blood River, from the water turning red with the blood of the slain. Miraculously, no Boer Trekker died and only three were wounded. Now, your friend, Eddie Miller, will be your ambassador for tonight's show.
Well, dear Blood River Radio family, I certainly appreciate you holding on. Just in case you're just tuning in, you know, we've totally shifted gears. We've gone to like a four-wheel drive Dodge Ram Power Wagon. We're going to a Rolls Royce. This is the second hour. We got different strokes for different folks, different things, you know, different problems. But we had Dalton Stout. He was really impressive. He's a lot more eloquent than you would think. You know, people like this are easy to underestimate. But he was from the Aryan Freedom Network. We got in touch with him through an attorney friend of ours over to Arkansas. Who likes him real well. He did real well. But this second hour here, we've got everybody's intellectual on. Oh, CW. CW knows as much about money, bonds, derivatives, banks, stuff like that. He knows more about that than anybody I know. Matter of fact, CW might even know this. The first time I ever invested in any stock in my whole life, Ramada Inn was, I think, kind of new. And CW put me on to this Ramada Inns. Well, I only had enough money for 20 shares. CW is the one that told me that you buy stocks in what they call round lots. So there's 100 shares to a round lot. I didn't have that kind of money. But I bought the old Ramada Inn. The fella was in a place who had his business was a place called Clark Tower here in Memphis. And I went over there. I told him, well, CW had sent me. And he said this. I don't know if CW remembers it. I may have told CW. He said, well, you know, CW is a very sharp guy. And I said, well, I'll never tell him that, man, because I taught him everything he knows. But anyway, that's a true story. But CW knows what he's talking about. We're going to start off covering about the meltdown of the Silicon Valley Bank. And what effect, if any, that's going to have on the United States population? What effect, if any, on the world population? How what that's going to do to the banking system? Is it going to be weakened? We're going to do all things Silicon Valley, and then we're going to branch into the intricacies of money. And this will take more than 1 hour, but what we're trying to do tonight mainly, we want to tell you people. CW is going to tell you people what you can do. What you need to start doing, you should have probably already started doing it, to protect yourself from this meltdown of this fiat currency, this corrupt banking system. Well, that, CW, how you doing, brother? How you doing tonight?
Well, Eddie, thank you for the kind words. They may be a little bit too kind, but I'm glad to be with you.
Oh, I almost forgot to tell you, CW has a sore shoulder, too. He's the third person I know has ever had this. He had his head to have his shoulder operated on. So he's kind of sacrificing to come on tonight. That's a very painful surgery. But you keep old CW in your prayers. But CW, you deserve every kindness I can come up with, brother. That's a God's truth. Anyway, CW, go ahead. What can you tell us about this Silicon Valley Bank, man? I mean, this is kind of flaky out there, man. Kind of fraudulent, huh? Anyway,
well, it is
tell us
Silicon,
what you got.
It's in Silicon Valley, which is in California, so that says a little something. But I appreciate your intro, and I just wanted to point out to everybody that I am not an economist nor a financial advisor or any of those things. I'm just an individual who's interested in these issues, and I'll tell you a little story about how I first got started with all of this years ago. I was about 15 years old, and at that time I had a paper route, and I was pounding the pavement, hauling the papers every afternoon, and I was clearing about $20 a month, I think. So I had a friend, and we were playing, and he told me about his father had just sold some stock and made $400. So I asked him, well, what did he do to get the $400? He said, oh, he just called somebody on the phone. So I thought that was absolutely incredible. Because here I had been dragging these heavy papers around for $20 a month, and his father made $400 with one phone call. So I determined at that point in time I'd look into that, and that's how I got started in looking down all these money rabbit holes. But on the Silicon Valley Bank, let me give you a few stats on that. It's the second largest bank failure in U.S. history. They had about $210 billion in assets before they failed. And this bank is located in San Francisco, I believe. And they did a lot of business with what they call high-tech startups. And these are companies that are trying to get into the technology business in one area or another. I mean, it may be computers or artificial intelligence or, you know, maybe genetic stuff. So really high-tech stuff. And they would give them loans and they'd go out and start their business. And they also were an international company in that they were giving out loans to high-tech companies in other countries. They had about 13 companies outside of the United States who they were doing business with in Europe, Asia, and Israel. So what happened to them was we had an old-fashioned what they call bank run, and that's where people go to the bank and try to get their money out. And what started this whole thing was the failure of another bank a few days before, which was involved in crypto. Now, crypto is kind of a high-tech thing, and it basically, crypto has to do with cryptocurrency, which probably everybody's heard of Bitcoin, but there are really thousands of others. And this just got started about in 2010, and there's a lot of money that's been poured into it. So it got hyped up a little bit too much back in the past few years, and a lot of them failed. So this bank had some crypto business, and there was a concern that with the failure of this crypto bank a few days before, that Silicon Valley would fail as well. And people went to get their money out. Now, the problem happened when the bank didn't have their money to give them. They had taken in a large amount of deposits, I think in 2020, when we had the COVID going on, and the government, as they do to solve every problem, they had flooded the world with currency. So a lot of this currency found its way into Silicon Valley Bank. So they had a lot of cash. So what they did was they took the cash and bought bonds with it. And bonds are a long-term investment. And you have to lock it up for a period of time, usually 10 years, 5 years, 20 years. So once you do that, you can't get your money back unless you wait for the expiration date, or you go ahead and sell it at the market. Now, bonds were down because they've been raising interest rates, and we can get in later into why that works that way, but they couldn't sell the bonds because they wouldn't get back what they put into them, and so therefore they didn't have the cash when they had this sudden demand for people's money. The people who put money in banks are called depositors. And we all probably, most of us have bank accounts. We deposit money in there. Now, the way it works is if you put money in a bank, your deposit is insured by the government by an agency called the FDIC, which stands for Federal Deposit Insurance Corporation. And they'll give you the $250,000 back if the bank fails and the bank is insured by FDIC. So really, there's no worry about getting your money back in that particular situation. Now, the way they come up with the $250,000 is they just print the money out of thin air, basically, and then everybody's made whole. So, you know, as far as people worrying about getting their cash out of the bank, it's probably not a big worry as long as they can print money and, you know, fill in all the holes in the bank. So in this particular instance, they also the government, that is, decided to make the uninsured depositors, and those were people with money above the $250,000 limit. Under normal circumstances, you know, they were not supposed to get their money back, but because these people were, well, 90% of the people who had deposits in this bank had money in there worth more than $1 million. So they would have lost a lot of money. This would have taken money out of the high-tech ecosystem and maybe caused, you know, other banks to fail. At least that was their logic for saying why they extended the $250,000 coverage to a larger amount. And as I understand it, what they're going to do is sell off all the assets of the bank and then pay these people back above the $250,000 limit. So I don't know that they'll get all of their money, but probably a large portion of it. Now, a cynical person might say, well, you know, the reason they did that was because these were rich people and they were well connected. And so, you know, they're looking out after their buddy, so to speak. And there may be a lot of truth in that. But anyway, that's kind of a rundown on the whole thing. It seems to have quieted down, but there is some speculation that it could, you know, spread to other banks. And then you would get you don't want to get into a situation where people are wanting their money back from banks everywhere, because that would cause what they call a systemic crisis. And that would be really, really bad. So, you know, you can kind of understand them wanting to stop the contagion and put a stop to this now before it gets out of hand. But the way they're doing it, by printing money, really that just kicks the can down the road. If we had a free system, then people who had, you know, made excessive deposits would have to pay the price for it. But in this case, they didn't. So that's kind of the take on what happened at Silicon Valley. It's a big deal, but right for the moment, it seems to be under control. So,
you know, CW, I hope I didn't interrupt you or anything. We're getting ready to go to a break, but I was, I hear the music. We're getting ready to go to a break. CW, when we come back, I'll ask a couple of questions, but I do not want to interrupt your flow. I have a thousand questions, but
go for it.
But okay. Well, folks, we'll be right back after this break. Like I say, we went from the Dodge Ram four-wheel drive Power Wagon to the Rolls Royce. Be right back.
I'm Michael Hill, president of the League of the South. I and my compatriots are Southern nationalists. We seek the survival, well-being, and independence of the Southern people, our people. The League wants a South that enjoys the sweet fruits of Christian liberty and prosperity, but our current situation won't allow it. We must have our independence from Washington, D.C. and the globalists. The present system cannot be reformed. Without independence, we will continue down this path of destruction. To us, this is not acceptable. I'm asking you, Southern man and woman, to join us today to free the South. Call us at 256-757-6789 or see our website at www.leagueofthesouth.com. God save the South.
Have you ever had great honey? No, I mean really good, all-natural, raw honey. Well, now you can, thanks to localhoneyman.com. We can ship out our locally made honey all across the U.S. So don't worry, you won't miss out. Plus, Local Honeyman has so many different flavors, like Utah Wildflower, High Desert Delight, Happy Valley, and Blackberry, just to name a few. So purchase your delicious raw honey today at localhoneyman.com.
Do you treasure your liberty? Well, at LovingLiberty.net, we most certainly do. And we want to help protect your liberty too. Become part of the family. Everyone knows that the core of any society is the family. Therefore, the government should foster and protect the integrity of its family, we the people. Won't you join us as a Loving Liberty sponsor to help us promote the principles in the 5,000-year leap? Let's restore the miracle that changed the world at LovingLiberty.net.
Thank you so much, Blood River Radio family, for hanging out. What's this going to be a fascinating? I hope we don't bore y'all two people, because it's not going to get too intellectual. But I'll tell you what, people, you need to kind of pay attention, because we're going to tell you some other solutions. You know, CW says he doesn't think right now. We talked during the break that the banks really are in a danger. And after all, he did point out a great truism. The Fed, which is a private group of bankers, I know most people listening to Blood River Radio are fully aware of that, but they can print an infinite amount of money. But as CW, he taught me years ago, with the, you know, there's no free lunch. Well, the more of these dollars they print up to bail out anybody, any banks, you name it, to bail out companies like Chrysler back in 1980, 1979, et cetera. Well, every dollar goes into the system, that's $1 more inflation. You know, if the Fed pumps in another dollar of fiat currency, with your savings, your spending power, it may not happen that day, but down the stream of inflation, when they pump this stream of money as a fiat money into the system, it's going to affect you in your spending power. And it and I'll shut up. I'll say this one thing: the guy named John Maynard Keynes, I'm sure CW will correct me. We're on the Keynesian banking system, and he said, "Here's what he said: he could steal through the process of inflation, what a lot of people call the cruelest tax, through the process of inflation." He said he could steal what every man had. He could take everything he had. He said, and not one man in 10,000 could define the cause, would know what was causing it. Anyway, CW, I was going to ask you, you talked about in the future, don't worry, you know, that they can, these banks, if one of them does fold, they close down, they will, your money is insured up to $250,000. And I was thinking, and I know CW corrected me when we talked earlier today, at one time I was taught or heard, that yes, your money was insured up to $250,000 to the tune of 15%. So in other words, if you had say for instance, if you had $100 in the bank and it failed, they would guarantee your $100, but they'd get back 15% of it. But he said, no, they will pay the entire $250,000 up to that. But anyway, with that, CW, if we do, has there ever, what's his name? One of our great patriots, he was the really hot, the fiery one. Anyway, he said that he knows of no better lamp to guide his path than history. So, if we go look back in history, CW, has there ever been a case that you know of, not necessarily the United States, but say the United States and Europe, where there was massive bank failure and we had central banks that did come in and bail people out with printing a lot of fiat money? Has that happened, and will it happen again? And will they do it? Do you have confidence in them, in the central bank system bailing out people like you, little people like us, so to speak?
Well, Europe got into a crisis a number of years back, around 2014 or 15, and the country of Greece in particular got hit really hard, and the banking system, I think, on Greece and in Cyprus failed, and in that particular case. You didn't have what they call a bailout. Now, a bailout is where a bank or a financial institution fails, and the government or a larger bank comes in and takes over the operations and makes everybody whole. In this particular case, you had what's known as a bail-in. And what happened there was they took the depositors' money and converted it into stock in the bank. So basically the savings went whoosh and you didn't have money anymore. You had stock, which, you know, the stock couldn't be exchanged for the amount of cash you had. Now that's called a bail in. And, you know, some people have speculated that might be where we're headed in this country eventually. But that's a different scenario from what we had here, which was a bail out. And that's money coming into the system externally.
Aha! I think you kind of answered that question. So, if you do have a bail in, and just say for instance, you, CW, or I, Eddie Miller, just say for instance, we had $10,000 in there in some bank, and it was bailed in, and they took our $10,000 and converted it into stock. Could we? There's probably some kind of stipulation where you're probably not allowed to sell that stock. You probably have to agree to go a certain amount of months, years before you try to sell that stock, because if you turn around and sold the stock, I don't know if that would it would mess the banker's strategy up or not. So, is there any? Well, you may not know that it was.
Well,
there any,
I was going to say normally you don't have a prohibition like that. Now, if you get stock as a compensation from a company, they may have a provision in there where you can't. Sell the stock. It's called a lock-in or lock-out period for like a year or something like that. But normally, the bail-in scenario in the banks is really unusual, and that's where the depositors get hurt. So obviously, if the depositors get a haircut, then they're not going to think too kindly of the banks. And the number one mission of the banks is to protect the banks and save them. So, you know, that's a less likely thing. But in an extreme case, you know, you'd have to take your thinking out to the very end game, like when the whole system fails, what's going to happen then? And, you know, that's total speculation at that point in time. I mean, I've got my thoughts on it, but, you know, everybody else could as well. And it's uncharted water.
You know, CW, that kind of reminds me of something that happened. Was it 1932 or 1933 when FDR called in the gold? And I think it was a federal offense for a citizen to own gold. And and a lot of people did turn their gold in to the federal government. And I'm sure you'll know this, but I don't remember the exact amount of money. But when the people that did, they thought they were doing the law-abiding things. Not you know, the smart ones didn't turn it in, but they were willing to risk. I think it was something like 10 years in prison, $10,000 in fine, an astronomical fine. But this, what you're talking about, this bail-in, kind of reminds me what happened then. When the people turned in our gold, once the Fed figured they got most all the gold they're going to get, then they immediately increased the price of gold. I'll just say it went from something like $20 an ounce to $35 an ounce. So right. The the people that turned that gold in lost, hell, almost 50% on the dollar, if people are following what I'm saying. Is that true, CW?
Yeah, that's true. Roosevelt was elected, of course, in 31. He assumed office in 32 in January, I guess. And that was his first act of legislation, was to pass the law where citizens had to turn in their gold in exchange for dollars. Now, up until that time, the dollar had been pegged at $20 to the ounce. So you would have what's called gold certificates, like we have dollar bills now, and you could take them into a Federal Reserve Bank, and they'd give you an ounce of gold for every $20 banknote that you had. So that was terminated at that point in time, and the dollars were not, you know, technically backed by gold at that, for the citizens anyway. The citizens of the U.S. it made it illegal to hold gold. Now, I think about 30 to 40% of the people turned in their gold and got the dollars, and about, I may be wrong on this, but 50, 60% didn't, or I may have it backwards, but a good percentage did not. And that's the source of a lot of our gold collectible coins today. But there was a penalty for not doing it. It was like 5 years in prison and $10,000 fine, but nobody ever went to jail and nobody was ever fined. So it was a threat that was not carried out, but it did cause some people to turn in their gold.
Well, in the end game there, we the people that our ancestors did turn in their gold. They took a royal screw and immediately with a stroke of a pen, Roosevelt stuck it to them when they raised that price of gold. Go ahead.
I was just going to say, you mentioned they took a 50% haircut. It's actually about closer to 70 to 75%.
Wow.
So what happened was that after the citizens turned in their gold, they revalued the dollar down relative to gold, so that what they paid you was only worth a fraction of what they changed it to.
That good old Roosevelt, boy, he was a kind, so he was for the working man, wouldn't he, CW? You know, that's...
Yeah, he was a good one.
He surely was. You know, I hope I didn't get us too far off, but that reminded me of the bail-in by sticking the sheriff, sticking the depositors with the stock. I was just wondering if they did that. I was just wondering if they didn't do the same thing. When they gave them the stock, but the stock was worth, pennies on the dollars, what they actually had, for what they had in cash in that bank.
Go ahead.
Oh, go ahead.
I just going to make a comment on the bail-in. It's basically a way of them taking the value from the depositors and giving it back to the bankers, more or less.
I gotcha. Before we go to a break, we're coming up on a break pretty soon. Let me look at my little trusty clock. Matter of fact, I think the time is just right. I hear, folks, I'm getting better. We're hearing the music. We're getting ready to go to a break. And I got a few more questions I'm going to ask CW. We'll go to the Silicon Valley bank a little bit more, than we're getting some solutions to stuff. Be right back, folks.
Thank you. proclaiming liberty across the land. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
USA News, I'm Dave Collins. Former President Trump is anticipating an indictment next week.
Trump, who's under investigation for his alleged role in a hush money payment to porn star Stormy Daniels, who claims she had an affair with him, says he expects to be arrested on Tuesday. His lawyer says the former president would surrender if he's indicted on criminal charges by a Manhattan grand jury. Trump, on his Truth Social platform, called for protests, saying, "Take our nation back." He has insisted that he did not commit any crime. I'm Jeremy Scott.
Former House Speaker Nancy Pelosi slamming former President Trump for his social media post where he called for his supporters to protest. The California Democrat called Trump's post reckless and said he did it to keep himself in the news and to foment unrest among his supporters. Legal experts aren't expecting a possible indictment to have much of an impact on Trump's 2024 campaign for president. President Biden calling for tougher penalties for senior executive of failed banks.
Biden wants lawmakers to give the FDIC more power to punish executives who need a government bailout. But California Congressman Ro Khanna told Breitbart, even without such action, the managers that shuttered Silicon Valley Bank are in big trouble.
Their careers are ruined, as they should be. They're facing investigations by the SEC, by the Department of Justice. They're probably never going to get another job again.
The banking problems are continuing to weigh on Wall Street. The Dow, the S&P, and the NASDAQ all closed lower Friday. Shares in the troubled Republic Bank slumped nearly 33%. I'm Karen Sloan.
Three children are dead after a fire in Baltimore early this morning. Fire officials say the blaze was reported around 5:30 in the morning at a row home in West Baltimore. The victims ranged in age from 1 to 7 years old. And Selena Gomez is now the most followed woman on Instagram. This is USA News.
Non-attorney spokesperson, ad sponsored by Openjar Concepts. Attention veterans and active duty military. If you were issued earplugs between 2002 and 2016 and were diagnosed with hearing loss or ringing in the ears, you may be entitled to compensation. The manufacturer of these military earplugs recently paid $9.1 million to resolve claims that their earplugs were defective, potentially exposing service members to damaging sound levels that could have resulted in hearing loss or tinnitus. If you or a loved one were issued earplugs and were diagnosed with tinnitus or hearing loss, don't wait. You fought for this country, and our attorneys want to fight for you. Call 800-958-2145 now for a free legal consultation and to see if you may be eligible to file a claim. Time restrictions may apply, and you pay nothing unless there's a recovery in your favor. So call 800-958-2145 now. Again, 800-958-2145. That's 800-958-2145.
A Venus is a 44 Magnum, the most powerful handgun in the world, and would blow your head clean off. You've got to ask yourself one question. Do I feel lucky? Well, do you, punk?
Well, dear Blood River Radio family, we have a wide variety of stuff planned, especially this month, since we've had people out. Some of our co-hosts have been out, but I hope you're enjoying this. I hope I heard when I was years ago when I was in school, they said that economics was, they call it the dismal science. But you know what? It's something everybody needs to know. You really do. I mean, it's vital. What could be more vital to your home life? Being a Christian and all, and go to heaven and all that stuff. That comes first. But to live on this here earth, money, you have to have money, and you need to be able to know how to take care of your finances, because if you don't, it's going to be a tough road to hoe, even at the best of times. But so that's what we're trying to do. We're trying to educate you people out there a little bit. I'm not talking down to you. Some of you people might know more than we do, but I know CW is an expert. I've known him for years and years and years. So that's what we're trying to do. And if we don't forget, we're going to try to give you some more solutions on how to safeguard what you've got. For instance, like buying gold and silver, stuff like that. But we'll get to that to the end if I don't forget. Anyway, go ahead. CW has some statistics and stuff he wants to lay on us. Go ahead, CW.
Yeah, we were talking about, the money printing that was needed to bail out this bank and also to cover up everything else that goes wrong. And I came across this, which kind of illustrates the problem a little bit, but you can measure the amount of money that's in circulation by they've got a statistic called M2, which stands for money, the second, like acute money, like savings, deposits, and cash, and money market funds, and that type of thing. Money you can lay your hands on pretty quickly. So in 1973, there was about 0.8 trillion of M2 in the economy. And by the time we got to 1922, there was 22 trillion, which was an increase of 28 times the amount of money in circulation. Now, if you look at the federal debt in 1973, we had a half a trillion dollars in debt. And by 1922, we'd gone up to 31 trillion. So that's 62 times greater. So if you do a little math, you'll see that the amount of money circulation went up 28 times, but the debt went up 62 times. So it makes you wonder how the debt's going to be paid off when this ratio is headed in the wrong direction. And that's just something to think about and kind of illustrates the problem long term. But I did want to, you know, there's some mileposts in my mind that I kind of go by and thinking about things and when they happened. And in our modern system, it really started in 1913 when the Federal Reserve Act was passed. And that's also the same year that the federal income tax was passed. And that's probably no coincidence. Then you fast forward to 1933, which you just mentioned, which was when the gold confiscation from the American people occurred under the Roosevelt administration. Then we jumped to 1944, which was at the tail end of World War II, and we had the Bretton Woods Agreement. And that was where they set up a financial system after the war where the dollar became established as the global settlement currency. And this was a really big deal that gave the United States huge power internationally. Now, under that agreement, American citizens were not allowed to have gold, but if you were a foreign nation trading with the United States and you accumulated dollars, you could bring the dollars back over here and we would exchange them for gold. So that did happen, and we ran deficits, so the dollar started showing up, and we had to give gold out for them, and that's what caused President Nixon in 1973 to do what they call close the gold window, and that's where he no longer honored the Bretton Woods Agreement, which was a default by the United States against our international trading partners, where we would not honor the commitment to exchange dollars for gold. And the last big thing, I think, 1975 is when Kissinger, this was 2 years after the gold thing with Nixon, and he went to Saudi Arabia and negotiated that the dollar be the only currency used for purchasing oil. Now, the reason this is important is oil is the number one commodity globally. So because of that, all commodities were priced in dollars. And once again, that gave the United States incredible power to be able to basically print money and get oil and other commodities from around the world and, you know, have them shipped over to America to the benefit of really the American people and particularly the leaders. So that's all I've got on that, Ed. If you want to hit on something else, go ahead.
Well, you know what? I'm notorious for going down rabbit trails. You just mentioned that, you know, the 1944 Bretton Woods and when Kissinger went over and got us on that petrodollar. I'll tell you what's looking bad. You're the expert on this. I'll let you say whether I'm right or wrong. I noticed where Saudi Arabia have just looks like they're getting ready to do a deal with Iran. They've been pretty much enemies at each other's throat. And, you know, this deal's been brokered, if I'm not mistaken, by China. And so if they, you know, Saudi Arabia, it's pretty much has turned their back. They've snubbed President Biden. You know, they wouldn't give him the time of day. So it looks like that Iran, Saudi Arabia, all these other nations that have been invaded and bombed by the United States for all these years. The United States, we know, if you don't go along with the so-called the Sodom of the Atomic government, well, you just get bombed. But it looks like CW, is there a chance that Saudi Arabia is going to reject that petrodollar and go with Iran and China and in Russia? What about that?
Well, they not only might doing it, they already are. They're selling oil to China for their currency, I believe, the yuan, and they're accepting other. They're starting to accept other currencies other than the dollar. Now, this is a really, really big deal because it kind of cuts the legs out from under the United States' power to use the dollar as a battering ram to beat people over the head, which it's done for quite a while. There's a, you know, we're kind of in a change of empire mode here, and the United States has been a gigantic empire, but it's starting to crumble, and same thing happened in Rome. You know, their currency got debased over a period of really several hundred years, but ours has been debased, and now people are leaving it. And you know, in the recent Ukraine war, we put sanctions on Russia. The Russians had like $160 billion deposited in banks that was under the control of the United States, and basically the United States confiscated all of that money. So other countries around the world look at that and they say, well, if they can do that to Russia, they can do it to us. So it's making them want to get away from the dollar. It's kind of arrogance and hubris at its worst. And the megalomaniacs we've got running the show now, for some reason, can't understand that. So it's bad news for Americans for sure. This whole, it's called the BRICS Alliance, which is an economic system that's developing in the rest of the world outside of the sphere of influence of the U.S. and seems to be making incredible strides in progress. And the participants in it are China, Russia, Brazil, and I think South Africa is the S. But now there's a lot of others.
India?
In there, like Saudi Arabia, Iraq, Iran, et cetera.
I think India's in there, too. I'm not so
sure. Yeah, India's ponying up to the Chinese.
And, you know, if Iran... And it, so do you think now Iran and Egypt, excuse me, and Saudi Arabia, they have not already got into the BRICS, have they? But they are, they think they're, aren't they leaning that way?
I think they are leaning that way. It looks like there's a lot of countries leaning that way. South America, you know, some of the Eastern European countries, Asia, Indian subcontinent. So, you know, the U.S. has still got some allies in Europe, although I don't know for how long, since we're blowing up pipelines that go to Germany and things like that. So, you know, people are peeling away from the U.S. Sphere.
You know, blowing up people's pipelines, I don't know about it because I'm pretty dumb, but I don't think that'd be a good way to win friends. But, you know, what people, dear Blood River Radio audience, what you need to know, what we're saying, this the end game is, we just got through saying, CW explained, about Bretton Woods, 1944, how that gave the United States hegemony over the world's economic system. You know, we could just print, you know, the United States, that's by we, not us, because we suffer too in a lot of ways. But the head of honchos, the movers and shakers, the United States, could print money at will. And, you know, these worthless dollars, and you know, go around the world. And then, when Kissinger went over, I'm just summarizing what CW said, went to Saudi Arabia. And he said, you know what, we'll defend you, we'll be your military, you be our friends, and all you have to do is price your oil in dollars. With that, I hear the music. When I come back, I'm going to tell you why you need to know this. Be right back, folks.
As you are aware, America is divided over every fault line possible. This is intentionally fostered by those who do not love God, family, or country. We believe a peaceful future as a free people absolutely depends on civility. Clarion Call for Civility is looking for funding and volunteers at every level to make our hopes and efforts a reality. Please donate, sign our pledge, and help us in our sacred cause. Please visit callforcivility.com for more details. callforcivility.com.
fighting for the soul of liberty and true pursuit of happiness for everyone. Freedom Fest 2023 is coming to the home of the blues and birthplace of rock and roll, Memphis, Tennessee, July 12th through 15th. It's the ultimate summit for liberty, educating and empowering through art, music, film, and comedy, while promoting economic freedom and highlighting today's political issues. Use promo code ROUND50 to save $50 off the current rate. Reserve your spot at freedomfest.com. See you in Memphis.
Hey, this is Matt from Blood River Radio. Blood River Radio is your voice to save our land, our people, and our future. We propose Christian solutions to an anti-Christian assault on our bloodlines. We love what we do, but we cannot do it without your help. The annual operating cost of Blood River Radio is more than even a team of people should bear alone. With your donation, we can take the fight to our enemies and hold our own people accountable for their treachery against us. Please go to our website, www.bloodriverradio.com, and find a way to help us that is suitable for you. We are thankful for any cash, check, or money orders we get. We also appreciate your correspondence or letters of encouragement. Once again, please help, and thank you for joining the fight.
Dear Blood River Radio family, this like before I forget, I keep telling my friend to remind me, I didn't mention our donors. We normally do it the first segment of the first hour, but listen. Our wonderful donors, we could not make it out. This past week, we had Frank Hawat. God bless old Frank Hawat. He's a funny guy. When we were up there, me and Robin, back in November up in New York, I ran that marathon. Frank Hawat put on one hell of a dinner for us at this super fancy German restaurant. I was totally out of my league. I felt like I needed to go through a microwave oven to get sterilized when we went in there. I felt kind of like I didn't belong there. But Frank White, thank you so much, buddy. And Jay-Z from Blood River Radio Zone AZ. You know, he knows what I'm talking about. Thank you so much for sending for your donations. I'm so sorry I forgot. I usually name that y'all's people on the very first segment. But thank you so much. But anyway, going back, people, finishing what we're talking about. Saudi Arabia, who we've been pricing their oil in dollars all these years, they're getting ready to get off of it. As a matter of fact, CW just said that they're already Saudi Arabia and Iran, who have been buddies, who have been enemies, are buddies. They're getting China, this Xi Jinping in China, he's been brokering the deal, making the United States look stupid. It's probably on purpose. Because we have a lot of traitors in this government right here, a lot of stupid people, and they're trying to bring the United States down. I couldn't think of a better way to do it. And what has going to happen, people, this is what you need to know. And I'm no brain, but this is what you need to know. All this coming by the dollar, the oil in Saudi Arabian oil, not their oil not being priced in dollars anymore, what they call the petrodollar, when the dollar is no longer the world's reserve currency. I mean, who would want it? Would you want a worthless Federal Reserve note backed by nothing? But look, no, it's backed by the goodwill, the honesty and integrity, and the full faith and credit of the United States government. We know that the United States has always honored every single treaty they've ever made. They're just so wonderful. But here's the thing. The dollar is going to go into nothing. You won't be able to go to the grocery store and buy anything. I mean, you know, it's going to be like the Weimar Republic in the 1930s, man, 1920s. It'll cost you $500 for a meal. That's what's coming down. That's the bottom line. And so the reason we're telling you that, I'm going to ask CW, I mean, what if anything can we do to prepare for that, CW? You're not a genius. I mean, you can't pull a rabbit out of hair, but what can they do?
Well, it's a tough problem, and what you've got to look at is what's going to hold its value if the dollar does continue to depreciate, which it has been for for a long time, mainly since 1973 when we came off the gold standard. So what I do is I say, well, what can you get that's outside of the financial system of dollars? Now, you could go into other currencies, but they're not worth much either. You could go into ancient money, which is gold and silver. And gold and silver are traded globally. And there's some evidence that these new BRICS nations that we talked about have been accumulating gold, particularly China, India, Russia, and Kazakhstan, Turkey. All of those are in the BRICS, I believe. And their central banks have been buying gold. So it looks like there's a possibility that this developing alternative currency system coming out of the BRICS nations may actually be backed by gold. Now, if that happens, then the dollar, of course, is toast. And if you had gold, then you probably would be protecting yourself pretty good. Now, gold is expensive. Right now, it's about $1,900 an ounce, I think. So, you know, people that don't have a lot of discretionary money, you could look at silver, which is kind of like gold's little brother. There's a ratio between the two, and right now, I think you can get about 70 to 75 ounces of silver for 1 ounce of gold. Another one that I think might be up and coming is Bitcoin. Now, Bitcoin was actually devised as digital money. And some people have called it digital gold. And it has all of the characteristics of gold plus a few others that make it better in some ways. And we didn't get into this, but both gold and Bitcoin require the use of energy to produce themselves. They can't be produced without the expenditure of energy like dollars can. All you have to do to create dollars is hit a button on a computer. No energy involved in that, right? So those are the two things that, you know, jump to the top of the list. The other thing is you could start looking forward into the future, seeing what you might need and get it now if you can, before the purchasing power of your money declines. So, and the failure of a fiat system under Austrian economics, you oftentimes go into what's called a crack-up boom, and that's where people realize that the money's becoming worthless, and they try to get rid of it. So you mentioned Weimar Germany. That happened there, and there are stories of people going to the grocery store with a wheelbarrow full of money, and when they come out, the wheelbarrow's gone, but the money's laying in a pile on the pavement. So it just goes to show you what could happen. And I'm not saying it will, but it could. More than likely, the Federal Reserve Bank is going to try to maintain their power and control. And probably they're going to try to come out with some type of digital currency, which is not a whole lot different from what we got now, except it's worse. In the sense that attached to the money is actually a surveillance mechanism. They're going to monitor everything you spend the digital currency on. They'll have computers analyzing what you purchase, where, when, why. And, you know, you'll have 85 different social categories, and they'll put you into one of them. And if it's in one of the categories they don't like, then bad things happen. Like maybe your bank account gets shut down, or you end up with less money in it, or some people have said, well, they'll probably put an expiration date on the money. So when you get it, if you don't spend it in 3 months, it goes away or it diminishes in value over time. And, of course, that takes away the incentive to save, doesn't it? That's what saving is. It's looking to the future and trying to put something back for later. So that's kind of maybe what we're looking at. I think, you know, people have got to do what they can do, but the bottom line is, you know, look at the purchasing power of the money you've got. It's like in those bank bailouts. Yeah, they've got their money, but what will it buy? It's going to buy less and less probably as time goes by.
Yeah, sure. You know, because like we mentioned earlier, the bailout of these banks, this Silicon Valley Bank, for instance, God only knows how many billions it took. I did have a figure. I don't know exactly how much. I think, where did I have it? It was billions. They had like, I want to say something like $175 billion was tied up in that bank, and it went up. And CW said that they're thinking about selling that bank, selling and using its assets to pay its depositors back. But, you know, CW, I know this may be what they call a rhetorical question or rhetorical statement. But each time the Fed comes along and bails out a bank like that that melts down. Incidentally, an old fellow once told me that money is never destroyed. He said it merely changes hands. So it goes from one person's hands to another. But when the Fed comes in and bails out, especially a gigantic bank, each time they do that, all those extra billions of dollars that put into the system, I know this might be too simple, you know, I don't know, but it increases inflation. There's a ratio. You could figure out the ratio. CW, correct me if I'm wrong. The ratio of money pumped into the system, pumped into the bank to bail it out, that ratio would be equivalent to the decrease. There'd be probably an inverse proportion to the amount of your spending power. In other words, if there's X amount of dollars pumped in to bail this bank out, your purchasing power through inflation, the creation of all those extra fiat current dollars put in there, increases the inflation. So, and if they keep doing that, like CW said, after so many bailouts, your money's going to be worth piddling. I mean, but I meant to get some more solutions because it's just never enough time. Let's see, we're coming up. We got about 4 minutes left. But anyway, CW, I was going to ask, got some questions down here. Let me see. I got a bunch of what shall I? You covered. You just answered some of them, like, and I'll just come up and kind of add on to what you just said about if you don't, and what you mentioned was like kind of the China system, the social credit score. They can also, like you, and you mentioned it with this new digital money. Everything you buy, the people that are running this Federal Reserve digital currency, they can tell what you bought, where you bought it, probably even the store. And you can only be, I'm hearing this, you will not be allowed to buy certain items. They'll say you won't be able to buy guns and ammo. You might not be able to give to certain churches. So a lot of your transactions will be restricted. And that's like what CW says. And if you are bad enough, they can just cut you off altogether. And I know, since we're about to run out of time, this is probably totally off the wall. I was going to kind of save this to the end game. But I know CW's mother was a devout Christian lady. God bless her soul. And so I was going to ask CW this from a Christian worldview. And I know CW was a Christian before I was. So bear with me, folks. You know, in the Bible, Holy Bible, in Revelation, they talk about the beast, the mark of the beast. Who can make war with the beast? And they talk about that man will be able to have to take a mark, I think, on their forehead or their right or their hand, the palm of their hand. And you will, to people, if you don't take this mark, it'll affect large and small, rich and poor, powerful and unpowerful. CW. Are we coming to the mark of the beast, in your opinion? I know you're not an expert on this because no one would know. But, you know, another thing, one of these requirements, if you take this, if we're listening to Joe Biden, once we take this digital credit thing, you will be forced to be vaccinated, et cetera, et cetera. CW, are we coming back to the point, is that the mark of the beast that we're talking about?
Well, it sure sounds like it. I mean, I think the biblical verse is you will not be able to buy or sell without the mark of the beast. And so they could easily, you know, cut you off from any transaction they wanted to. And not only that, they could use it for rationing. For example, if there was a shortage of cheese or bread or whatever, you may get a ration of X amount. And of course, this would not be fairly distributed among the population. The favored ones would get more than the ones that aren't. So, basically, it's programmable. It's a computer program, so you can put anything in there you want to. There's no limit to what they could put in there. It's totally unlimited.
CW, I wish we had a run of time. I was going to ask you about maybe the next time you're on. I'd like to talk about we get Dr. Edwin Vera on. I'd like to talk about state banks, county banks. That could be a solution. I don't know. But thank you so much, dear brother CW, coming on. I'll be contacting you again very soon. We owe a debt to CW taking out his time after he had surgery just recently. And I know he's got to be in pain, but he came on this program anyway. Thank you so much, CW. Thank you very much, my brother. I'll contact you real soon.
Bye-bye.
Well, people are transitioning to the third hour now. We're going to bring on my brother, Gene the Bitter Ender, and my big sister, Nancy Hip. Be right back, folks.